welcome to another episode of the Negative Positives Podcast. And now, coming to you live out of the Gutter Man Cave in beautiful Louisville, Kentucky. He likes his bourbon almost as much as he likes his Pentax. It's your host, Mike Gutterman.
Hello and welcome to the Negative Positives Podcast, episode number 273. I am your host, Mike Gutterman, coming to you from the Gutterman Cave on a rainy, I guess, Wednesday morning. You'll be hearing this Friday morning when it comes out. Another little solo show. I'm going to try to make this one quick. I always say that, but we'll see how that goes. But the first thing I kind of want to talk about is, you know, I think when I first started this podcast, I kind of made an effort to, talk about the film news, whatever film news is going on. And I've kind of gotten rid of that policy a little bit because there's so many other podcasts that are way better at it than I am, and I have a hard time keeping up with all this the film news that comes out and all that stuff. Which is good because that means there's a lot of stuff that always comes out, and I just have a hard time staying on top of it. And that's a good thing, I guess, at least for the industry and for our little passion that we for film that we have. But there was a big announcement. I'm sure every podcast under the sun is going to talk about it, but I'll go ahead and mention it here in case you've been under a rock and don't know about this. But apparently Ilford has some new film or films coming. There's supposed to be a big announcement on October 24th about these new films from Ilford. So keep an eye on that. There's been a lot of speculation on what it might be. Ilford apparently has already ruled out that it's not color film, because apparently Ilford did used to produce some color film, but now they're all black and white. So I'm guessing some black and white, a new black and white emulsion possibly, or just maybe something available in sizes or formats that we're not used to. There's a lot of speculation on what it might be. I'm not about to guess myself, because I probably would be really terrible at it, because I don't really... hadn't really followed it that much and haven't really read into all the rumors and what people were speculating it might be. But exciting news. You know, anytime you get new films coming out, that's a positive sign for film photography and this whole thing that we got going on, right? So I think it's something to watch out for. And also, the other kind of big news piece, I guess, is I got my email from Emulsive, M at Emulsive, for the signing up for the Secret Santa 2019. And just before I started this recording, I actually got M on the line through Skype, and we recorded a small little segment about this year's Emulsive Secret Santa. Try to give you all the information you need to know about that. And so let me go ahead and insert the segment that I just minutes ago, moments ago, recorded with M from Emulsive.org about this year's Secret Santa. So let's take a listen to that. Okay, so there's some news that's out in the community here, and instead of me telling about this little announcement, I figured I should get it straight from the horse's mouth, I guess, as they say. Although this guy's not a horse, he's a friend of the community, Mr. M from Emulsive.org. How you doing tonight, M?
Hey, Mike. Yeah, thanks for having me on at such short notice.
Yeah, well, I was going to try to get you to send me a file, but this is actually works out a little easier. We get to actually talk, not face-to-face, but Skype to Skype, I guess. So the Emulsive Secret Santa, you've launched it. And I guess most of us that were in it last year got emails. I know I did. Did everybody that was in it last year get an email? I'm assuming that's how that worked.
Everyone apart from the 1% who decided to freeload and not play the game and not send out their gifts.
About
excluding those guys, probably about 1150 off 1161, 1162 got an invite on October 1st.
Awesome. And so... basically, you can sign up to that email link. But for anybody that's interested in participating this year that didn't get the email or whatever, or wants or is a new participant, I'm guessing they go to emulsive.org to sign up. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, I've got a really annoying red bar on the top of the website. So if you go to Emulsive now, you'll see a little prompt there to say, is registration is open. Just click this button to get started. If you have already closed it in anger and you can't see it anymore, you can just do a quick search for Immersive Santa or Santa 2019, and it'll come up. Or, you know, you can just scroll. There's like three ways. So yeah, I mean, it was pretty crazy because I expected this year to be quite a lower turnout than 2018.
Really? I mean, why? You would think it would just keep building, right? But
yeah, I mean, 2018, I actually started the kind of pre-invites. When was it? I think it was the last week of July. So
yeah, it was a lot earlier.
It was a lot earlier. And then the registration ran through August, September until the end of October. So we had 3 months. And over those 3 months, we registered 1160. Well, actually, we registered about 1400 people. And then I wiped out a whole bunch of people who didn't have wish lists, who didn't have profile pictures, and all of those kinds of things that we do to make sure that, you know, player quality and all of that kind of stuff. But this month, we literally just have 31 days. So my expectation was it's going to be quite a bit smaller. And here we are, kind of middle of October. There's 750 people already registered, 752, I think, right now, awesome. In just shy of 50 countries.
So how did you feel about, I don't know if I've really actually heard, sort of a summary of last year, overall the success, you think?
Yeah, I mean, one of I'd say probably the two biggest metrics of success for me are seeing everyone follow the rules in terms of not opening their gifts before Christmas Day, because it's really good just to have, you have a little 3-day window, December 24th, 25th, 26th, where people are opening gifts, you know, because of various cultural or social differences, you know, across the world. And last year was fantastic. Obviously, with so many more players, I think we had the 1,100 versus about 780 from the year before. There's so much activity going on through the whole of December. People posting gifts that they were sending, gifts that they were receiving, pictures of wrapped stuff under the tree, and then bang, 3 days you just had madness where just photos of gifts are just being shared all over social media. So that's one of the metrics, and that, you know, based purely on that, it was a complete success.
One of the things that I think I've screwed up is I think when I opened my Secret Santa gift, I think I just put it on the Negative Positives group or whatever. I didn't really do much social media besides that. Would you like people to share the gift opening or whatever? Is there a hashtag you're wanting people to use, or a specific a platform you prefer for people to kind of show what they got, and kind of where were most people posting this stuff at? Because I think I probably failed at that little portion of the game.
The whole event. I mean, the whole, you know, I'm pretty much based on Twitter. That's where I spend most of my time. So you can tag at Immersive Film or at Immersive Santa, which is like kind of the dedicated account. And the hashtag is Immersive Santa 19 for this year. So Immersive Santa 19. There's obviously a lot of stuff that happens over on Instagram as well. Loads of people posting stuff there. I think where Facebook fails and the others succeed is that, you know, a lot of us on Facebook, we're going to be posting in specific groups as opposed to on our personal profiles and stuff like that. So it's a little bit more fragmented in that respect. But yeah, I still saw posts, you know, the odd post here and there coming up on Negative Feedback and Film Photographers and obviously NegPoz as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just use the hashtag. I mean, it's, you know, post when you send, post when you receive, and then post when you open.
Okay. For anybody that might be under a rock here a little bit and doesn't know exactly what this, how about you just kind of explain the basic template of how this works, just to get that out there in case someone, this is a first time, I don't know how this would be the first time anybody's heard of it, but, you know, just in case.
Well, it's just like a Secret Santa that you may play at home, or you might play in the office, or, you know, at your place of work. So best way to think about it is if you imagine six people standing around in a circle, and each person has got a gift. Each person passes the gift to the person on their left, and that goes all the way around the circle. So everyone sends a gift, everyone receives a gift. So that's a really simplified version of it. You are giving to person A, but you are receiving from person B, let's say. So you're not, it's not like people are getting paired up to send gifts to each other. Although it has happened.
It happened to me last year. Actually, I was, I switched with the same guy. Yeah. So, which was kind of cool, you know, but yeah.
It's not the intent. I think that happened. I think last year there were probably about half a dozen people who ended up swapping in pairs, and that's partly to do with the kind of automated matching process that we go through. Right. And I think this year Iceland and I are going to go back to doing things manually. So lots of spreadsheets, lots of random number generators, and lots of matching. That's why I'm saying for this year, matching's probably going to take about 2 days.
Oh, wow. Wow. So it seems like a lot of work ahead of you. So
it's not a small undertaking, and it's, you know, every year I kind of get to the point where I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to put myself through this again. And then, and then every
just like,
single
just like
year,
I'm supposed to be quitting these solo shows too. And I haven't done that yet either. So, but that's
exactly. Well, because you see the reaction. I think the reason I started this was because I was shocked that there wasn't something like this happening just within the community on Twitter anyway, considering how close-knit everyone was there when I reared my ugly head kind of 5 years ago. And so, yeah, that's why I started. I think year one, we had 120 people, and then about 460 in year two, about 780 in year three. Last year was 1,160. You know, this year, we might hit 1,000. I'm not bothered if we don't, to be honest. For me, it's more about the quality rather than the quantity. Although obviously, getting more people involved and engaged is a fantastic thing.
I was going to ask you I think last year, I think you'd kind of stated your goal was to break 1,000. You kind of had that kind of personal goal set, and you accomplished that. So any sort of goal out of this year, you just wanted to just run smooth, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, I mean, the good thing, having done it for so long now, is that you can build in refinements to the whole process. And one of the biggest parts of that for me has been essentially removing as many what I call bad Santas, you know, these no-show people from the event. And last year, 1,100 people, we had about 1.3% of those people were no shows.
Wow, which was not actually bad. That's really not bad, you know.
Well, no, and it was smaller in number than the previous year.
Wow.
There's a lot of hard work in there. You're always chasing people up to make sure they've got their profile pictures and their wish lists all sorted out on Elfster, which is where it's being hosted, and it's difficult to make to cut people out, especially when you're looking at a profile and you know this person on social media, you know they're engaged, and you've sent them a direct message on social media to say, hey, can you do this? And they don't. But you have to think about, you know, the bigger group, the bigger event. And the way that I see it is that if people are jumping on board, fantastic. If the same people, that's easy. You just fill out a form, you click a button. But if the same people can't then just switch out the default profile picture or actually tell other people, hey, this is what I'm looking for this year. You know, I want some local sweets, or I'd like a print, or I'd like a wide lux or a Hasselblad. Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is. But if you can't take that extra step, then to me, and it's a really horrible thing to say, but to me, that just shows that they're disengaged and potentially not interested in playing. So as a means of protection for everyone else, we'll wipe those guys out. We'll remove them from the event before we do the match.
Well, sure. If they can't follow the simple process of putting up a profile picture and a wish list, it's hard to imagine them going to the post office and sending something out. Right. So like, you know, there's a little more effort in that. Right.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's that crazy kind of time of year where everyone's busy. I think things are mad. Things are mad for a number of reasons. Hang on, there's a big truck coming my way. I'm going to get out of its way before it runs me over.
Well, yeah, because we don't really want the Secret Santa to end right now. So let's try not to get run over.
we were very close just there. Very, very close. I had to duck down the alleyway.
So, okay, for people that want to sign up, when is the deadline for this year again? Just to kind of get that back out there.
Yeah, sure. The deadline is October 31st at midnight in whatever your time zone is. So people in Hawaii have got more time than people in New Zealand. But if there's any kind of slippage, 12 hours-ish after the official deadline, I'll still be accepting people in.
Okay. Well, I wish you the best of luck organizing this thing. I know it's a huge headache and a big undertaking, but probably also a little bit of a passion project, I guess. So I wish you the best in this endeavor, and obviously a huge thanks, not only for me but probably the entire film community that you put something on like this. I think it's a really cool thing that brings people together, and I think the cool thing about it is, like, you know, with my partner last year, which we actually exchanged with each other, you know, we had a little conversation, got to know somebody I didn't know before that process. So I think that's always a positive, and kind of, I think it's a really nice thing that brings the community together and kind of gets you to communicate. I think it's actually one of the big benefits of it is it sort of forces some communication with somebody you wouldn't maybe normally converse with. So
and one of the most rewarding parts of doing all of this is hearing from people after the fact that, I mean, there's guys who connected in the first year and they're still fast friends right now. And it's, you know, building those kinds of connections was, it's not something I expected would happen so quickly, or something that would kind of maintain itself for so long, if you know what I mean. But it's fantastic. I'm pretty sure Andre's looking forward to maybe matching with his guy from last year, who I think was in Alaska and sent him some salmon jerky, if I recall.
was one of the
weirder gifts that I've seen received. Although I did receive a Polaroid of Buddy Holly's grave, believe it or not, for one of my own gifts a couple of years ago. Yeah, I got some. Some guitar picks, handmade mittens, a scarf, which is very useful in a subtropical climate. But it's stuff like that. People just, they go out of their way. I think if you let people show how much they care and just appreciate and enjoy life and this whole film photography thing, you give them that chance. I mean, they'll go crazy. Mm-hmm. And I just love that.
I feel like a majority of people kind of go above and beyond what the actual kind of what minimum expectation is. Obviously, there's some people that you know, probably just get by with the minimum. But I think the majority seems to really kind of go all in on this thing. And I think it's another testament to just kind of how cool this film community is, right?
It's like buying gifts for family and friends you haven't met yet.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well put. All right, Em. Well, I'm going to run off here and finish this beer. I think it's probably about your bourbon time, isn't it, at this point in your day?
We're getting close. We're getting very close.
Nice. Well, Em, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, man. And again, best of luck and hopefully very little headaches and a smooth sailing on this endeavor this year. And I will certainly be participating, and I'll try to spread the word any way we can on this podcast. And and everybody go get signed up, get your profile pics up, and get your wish list together before October 31st. And let's have some fun with this thing, right?
Definitely. And one last thing before I go, keep an eye out on the 23rd for a big Santa announcement.
Oh, teaser. You heard it here first, right?
So there you go. It's got to be done. So yeah, really hoping that folks who play for, especially the negative positives listeners, are going to go out and buy some cool film photos gifts. See what I did there?
There you go.
It was awful, but I still did it.
It's funny, when I have you on the show, I can't hardly get you to say that, but So yeah, very nice. Well, Emma, right. always a pleasure talking to you, man. I really appreciate it.
Cheers, buddy.
All right, cheers.
See you later.
All right, folks, I'm back for one little final segment here, and huge thanks to Em from Emulsive.org for kind of joining me at a moment's notice and coming on to talk about the Emulsive Secret Santa. Last year was the first year that I participated in it, and it was a real blast. And so if you're interested in participating, I definitely recommend go ahead and get signed up for that as soon as possible. And it's very fun, man. It's a very rewarding thing. It's a very cool thing that goes on in this film community that I don't think a lot of things like this go on in other communities, particularly photography communities. It's just a really cool thing. So I really enjoyed it last year, and I'm looking forward to participating again this year. So if you want to get involved, definitely make a move on that. If you get the email, go ahead and sign up through that. Or if you have not participated, just go to emulsive.org. And sign up there. So, okay, I'm going to finish the show up with a call-in camera review. And this one is coming in from Mr. Bill Manning from the Studio C41 One-Hour Photo Podcast. I guess a star-studded episode here. Got some heavyweights in the industry, or at least in the film community on this show. Very cool. But Bill's going to talk about a particular lens for the Pentax 6.7. You know, the Pentax 6.7 is the working man's medium format camera. So let's hear what Bill has to say about this this Pentax 6.7 lens I believe he recently acquired. So let's take a listen to that.
Hey guys, this is Bill Manning with Studio C41. I am calling in to do a call-in camera review for the Negative Positives. Mike Andre, I heard your cries for help, so I figured, sure, I will go ahead and pitch in and help out. I guess it's about time. So I am reviewing a camera lens on the Pentax 6.7. No, it is not the 105 2.4, although that is an amazing lens. I am actually doing a review here on the Pentax Takumar 90mm f2.8 leaf shutter. There have only been two modes of leaf shutters that Pentax made. That is the 90mm f2.8, which is what I'm talking about today, and the 165mm. Now, I'm going to go over some of the specs of this lens really quickly here. So this lens obviously goes from f2.8 all the way up to f22, as well as a shutter speed of 1/30th of a second to 1/500th. There are an additional couple features on this lens. There is a port here for a shutter release cable that goes directly into the lens, and a PC sync cable port. Now, there is an interesting little feature on the bottom side of that lens. You have a little switch that has a U mode and an S mode. And I believe U is just for user mode, and the other one is for special. Now, the last feature about this is that there is a cocking mechanism on the lens that allows you to engage the shutter mechanism inside of this lens. So why did Pentax make this lens? Well, this camera was not very popular amongst studio photographers. And the reason why is because of the 1/30th of a second sync speed. It makes it incredibly difficult for photographers to shoot and combat against ambient light. Typically, you would be able to shoot at faster shutter speeds, especially with a leaf shutter, you would be able to shoot up as fast as 1/500th of a second. And in some of the newer cameras, where you can shoot all the way even up to 1/1000th of a second. So so that was a huge disadvantage to the Pentax 6.7. This is why Pentax made this lens. So the workaround, how does this work? So on the U mode, you would turn the shutter dial to less than 1/8 of a second. So typically I just keep it at 1/4 of a second. And that is for the curtain to slowly open up. And then what ideally would happen is the leaf shutter will engage and then open and close very quickly before the curtain comes back to close down. So if you were shooting at 1/500th of a second, the way that would work is the mirror would flip up, the leaf shutter would close off, so the light hasn't opened, come into the camera, and then it would open and close very quickly, and then the curtain would close back up, and the shutter mirror would come back down. So that's generally how the mechanism is supposed to work. So you now will hear the camera body shutter cocking, and then now you will hear the lens shutter cocking. And then this is when it's getting fired. Listen for the different clicks. So you should have heard a mirror slap, a leaf shutter click, and then you would hear the slap of the shutter coming back down to the camera body. So that feature works incredibly well. It allows me to get up to 1/500th of a second and shoot wide open to combat the ambient light when it comes to shooting in, with strobes. Now, there's another mode that I had not talked about yet, and that's the S mode. I believe that is called Special. Now, what's really neat about this mode is you are removing all the shutter speed components to this camera. I think this is where it becomes very popular for landscape photographers. Even though you have the mirror lockup mode on some of the Pentax 6.7s, the curtain moving is still enough of a vibration to, especially at slower shutter speeds, to cause blur to the camera. So by having this leaf shutter, you can actually move the dial between a empty space between 1000 and X. So if you just turn it into that blank area, you are now in allowing the camera to go into a special mode. So what will happen is you would set your shutter speed, your aperture to that, whatever the scene calls for, and then you would engage the shutter. And then you would cock the, and that's the shutter on the body. And then you would cock the shutter on the body, on the lens. And then you would fire the shot on the camera. So what happens at that point is the leaf shutter is now fully engaged. The mirror is locked up. The curtain is wide open on the backside of the camera, and it is ready to expose light. The leaf shutter has now blocked that capability of the light hitting the film inside of the camera. So at that point, you would use the shutter release cable to engage the leaf shutter to open and then close. And then you could also do multiple exposures from that point. Now, if you need to get out of that mode for any reason at all, you can turn the dial to any of the shutter speeds on the camera. So you can actually turn it to X or to 1/1000th of a second. And the camera has now reset back to its normal mode. So that is pretty much it for this camera I have been incredibly happy with this. I am an avid leaf shutter shooter. I had been very wary about going to a Pentax 6.7 just simply because of that 1/30th of a second. And I have to be honest with you, now that I have been able to play around with this, I have been very, very happy. There have been instances where some people said that the lens is not as sharp as the other 90 millimeter that does not have the leaf shutter capability in it. However, I have been stopping down on this lens to around f5.6 to f8. And I have not found any issues with the lens, and it is incredibly sharp. So for strobe shooters out there that have a Pentax 6.7, I highly recommend keeping this 90 millimeter in your arsenal. Even though, yeah, sure, you're not going to get an amazing bokeh out of it. It does have 5 aperture blades, but, you know, it is, I find, a great lens. So that is pretty much it for this call-in camera review. I hope that you learned something from it. I certainly did. Get playing around with it, I did have to waste about a roll or two to kind of get used to it, because I did forget to cock 2 shutters on this camera at the time. So other than that, I hope you guys enjoyed it. And over back to Andre and or Mike, I'm not sure which one, but shoot some film. Dang it.
Well, thank you, Bill Manning, for the call-in review for a lens. I think it's the first time we've actually had like a lens review on the call-in reviews. So definitely appreciate that. Kind of learned something there. I hadn't really looked into that lens he was talking about, but I think it'd be very helpful for people that want to do more like flash photography with a Pentax 6.7. Had no idea how that process works, so I kind of learned something there. So that was very cool. As far as my Pentax 6.7 lenses, I have 3. I do have the 105 2.4. It's a very legendary lens, and man, that lens is, it's kind of my go-to portrait lens. I don't know of any lens I've ever used that does portraits any better than the 105 2.4. It's a legend. Dairy lens for a reason, but I also have, when I bought the Pentax 6.7 body, I have the regular 90 millimeter, not the one that Bill was talking about, just the normal 90 millimeter lens, and that is no slouch either. So if you're looking at a Pentax 6.7 and it comes with that 90 millimeter lens, which is kind of considered the standard lens for that camera, it is no slouch. That thing is sharp as all get out, and you can get some really good bokeh and pretty darn good portraits out of that one as well. Maybe not quite as legendary as the 105, but it is definitely not a lens to overlook, for sure. I also have the 55 millimeter lens wide angle that I bought from Junior Wyatt. I actually bought the 105 from Junior Wyatt as well, so Junior really hooked me up for some Pentax 6.7 lenses, and so yeah, I'm pretty well set on my Pentax 6.7 gear, I guess, but yeah, I don't do a lot of flash photography, so the lens that Bill was talking about, not necessarily something I would need, but if you are into that kind of thing, it's nice to know there's an option out there, because, you know, the Pentax 6.7, it is the working man's medium format camera, so. But okay, so I guess I'll go ahead and end this episode. You can see my photography on Instagram at GuttermanPhoto, on Facebook at Mike Gutterman Photography. You can email this program at negpositives@gmail.com, and that's where you would send any sort of call-in camera reviews, call-in lens reviews, or call-ins about anything that's going on in your photography world. You can send those just record a little file on your smarty phone or whatever you want to do, however you want to record an audio file, and just email negpositives@gmail.com, and we will put it in the queue to get it on the show. So, okay, and you can join the Facebook group. It is the Negative Positives Film Photography Podcast Facebook group. And let's see, we also have an Instagram account, Negative Positives, mostly ran by a friend of the show, Mr. Bryce Randall. And if you submit photos to Instagram, think about using the hashtag Negative Positives. And if Bryce sees it, maybe he'll highlight it on the Negative Positives Instagram account. All right, folks. Well, this is coming out on a Friday morning, so everybody have a great weekend, and we will talk to you on the Monday night recording that'll come out Tuesday morning. So we'll see you then. Until then, everybody, again, have a great weekend. Everybody stay positive and shoot some cool film photos. Gutter Man Cave Production!